Jim Green, you are dismissed. In case you're wondering, I am not Pastor John Wadetsky. Unless I say something today that offends you, then I am. I'm Josh Taylor, and it is great to be here this morning to bring you the Word of God. Oh, I'm sorry, and I'm the family pastor. I fail. Kids are dismissed for children's church. That wasn't on my notes. You know, it's interesting. As I was preparing my sermon for this morning, or last like a week and a half or so, it's kind of tough to plan a sermon like a one and done. For me, I'm really enjoy planning like series and things like that. So as I prayed and I just asked God to guide me in this and what he laid on my heart this morning, and then I started thinking, we like to, have everyone come in this morning, worship God, and get out of here as quickly as possible. So, we try to move things along. And so with thinking of that, I'm like, oh gosh, I hope I don't preach for 50 minutes this morning. And so what do I do like any good pastor? I add more passages this morning. So if you would, open up your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. As you're still opening, let me read for us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and their blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitants, and houses without people, and the land is desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Let's pray. Father God, be with us this morning. Lord, I pray that my words this morning are not my own, that they are yours. Lord, that we leave this place changed, that we leave this place better than when we came in it, that we leave this place more on fire for you than we could ever imagine. God, you're good to us, and we love you. Amen. So we're set up early here with a vivid picture of a really magnificent scene. Isaiah is taking a moment here, and he's describing something for us in this vision that he has. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now we see this as a big moment in Jewish history, because King Uzziah was a pretty long running king, probably about 50 something years he reigned, and he was a pretty good king. He did things pretty well for the people. And so Isaiah is wanting to pinpoint a moment here, because it's very important that as King Uzziah is dying, a good king, he's being reminded that we have a king. That's my king. And he's setting up this just magnificent scene for us. And so above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing I think about when I read this is, wow, what a scene. What majesty is in this place that Isaiah is seeing? And these seraphim, they're crying out, holy, holy, holy. Saying something three times is a big deal in the Bible, right? A lot of emphasis there. They are giving God what he deserves. This is a moment of worship. This word holy is central to Isaiah's description. He's showing us that God is sovereign. He's the mighty God. He's Elohim. He's Father. He's the Creator. But above all, he is the Holy One. And we see this in the midst of this verse, like kind of a transition. Because Isaiah is kind of building us up with this wonderful imagery of our Lord. And then he transitions into a time of response. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me. Who's ever had a woe is me moment? Isaiah does not feel worthy. He goes on, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He has seen the King, and he feels this big. Matthew 12, 36 through 37 says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Isaiah does not feel worthy. How many times have you felt not worthy? I know I do every day. Because we too are often people of unclean lips. Saying, but not doing. We see one more transition here. A transition from response to action. It says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. I'm just going to stop there for a second. So we see this moment where what has Isaiah just done? He has cried out, I'm not worthy of you, God. I am not worthy. And then, like that, his sin is taken away. It has been atoned for. It is gone. And then he continues, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" God literally calls Isaiah to action here. Isaiah gets, basically we can look at it this way. Isaiah gets saved, and then God goes, "So now what are you going to do? I need someone to go share this, tell people. You going to do it?" And Isaiah says, "Yeah, I'll do it." And God just, he follows it up with some instructions. Like, "This is what I want you to go do." And so then Isaiah's like, "Well, how long do you want me to do this for?" And God goes, in the latter part of the passage, "You're going to do it until everything's gone. There is no end date on this. You will do it as long as you have breath in your lungs." Isaiah was filled with awe at what he saw. Have you ever been filled with awe of the Lord? He saw this beautiful scene, and he was overcome with this grief at his own sinfulness, the sinfulness of the people. And he responded. Isaiah's experience is similar to many of our own. Though I think we probably don't maybe see grand visions like this. When we accept Christ, we experience the majesty of God. And we are left with that question, who will go for us? Church, what is our response? Do we just go, "Well, I like you, Jesus, but I'm really comfortable. I like coming on Sundays. It's nice. We have music. Sometimes they feed us. But going, doing, it's not my thing." Well, what we can take from this is when we accept the things of God, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the expectation is that we will go and do. Not sit and wait. Not sleep in on Sundays. We will go and do. Literally, if all we do is come to church on Sundays or maybe Wednesday nights or whatever the case may be, listen to the great sermons, especially today. Maybe. Jury's still out. Good music. And then we leave. We are missing the point. That is not what it's about. Faith in Christ, being a Christ follower, is not about how much we can get from God. It's about what we can give back to Him for all that He has given us. If you want to flip in your Bibles over to John chapter 13, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 16. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do not wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." This was really Jesus' last teaching moment with his disciples before he died. And he could have taught them or done anything he wanted at this moment. But the last thing he wanted to leave them with was a servant's heart. Was to show them humility. That this life is not about, you know, all the pomp and circumstance that it can be sometimes, but it is about service to the Lord. That we have to love one another. And when we do that, we're serving him. Being a Christ follower is about action. We're supposed to be little Christs. Well, if that's the case, if we truly believe that we should be little Christ, does everybody agree with that? We should be little Christ, right? A few of you in the room, okay. It was a joke. Tom got it. If that is the case, if he is our example, we better get moving. Because Jesus didn't sit still very long. I was thinking about this week, of if how we truly are throughout the week, and I don't know everyone's schedule, I know my schedule, and if how I acted on a daily basis is a true, through and through representation of Christ. So I wrote something down. That would mean Jesus would be home sitting in his recliner, maybe waiting for America's Got Talent to come on, eating a bowl of popcorn, maybe blowing off Bible study that week, or Awana, shameless plug, on Wednesdays. Or even Jesus' alarm goes off on Sunday, and he groans because he has to get up real early, right? And go to his father's house to serve others during Sunday school, or as a greeter, and worship the Holy One during the service, then maybe ultimately he rolls back over and sleeps in, says, "I'll go next week." Happens more often than we'd like. Who's ever groaned at having to do ministry before? You can be honest, it's okay. We all have. We shouldn't, though. We should be excited. Because God himself has said, "Who's going to go for me? Who's going to do stuff for us?" And we all accepted Jesus, and we said, "I will. Send me." I don't know about you, if you remember when you finally accepted Jesus as your Savior and you became a Christian. I was 18 when that happened. And I remember it just like it was yesterday. And I remember how excited I was. Wow. I'm part of something no one else around me is, and I need to share that with them. So I immediately began doing stuff that new, untrained Christians do, and you get really excited, and you get tracks, and you go running around, and you're like, hey, you want to know Jesus? That was me. I remember running into work. I was a busboy at a pizzeria. I ran in, and I'm just, because I, in my head, I'm like, I know Jesus. Everybody can know Jesus. I ran in. I was handing tracts out left and right. I was like, do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to accept Jesus? And I look back on that, and though not a lot of, you know, direction in what I was doing, but I wish we all had that excitement still. That we wake up every single day going, you know what, today is another day I get to serve God. And maybe you do. And if you do, that's awesome. But I think far too often we are so preoccupied with other things. I'll be first to admit, the last few weeks for myself and my family have been a lot of preoccupation. If you don't know, we moved from Illinois last Saturday. I had a lot on my mind. And one of the last things on my mind was my Savior. The point is, He is our priority, and serving Him is our priority, and sharing Him is our priority. Something God called Isaiah to firsthand, and something He calls us to every day. I don't know how many of you have really interesting experiences with sharing your faith. Has anybody gone like door-to-door kind of evangelism, gone and shared door-to-door or something like that? A few of you. We were doing a conference with some youth once. This was 10 years ago. And the whole point was, you know, to really get our youth excited, share Jesus. So we were driving around in our community, and the whole idea behind this conference was, yeah, you get your kids, you get them out of the car, they go up to the doors, and they share Christ. This particular trip, we had some younger kids, and I laugh because I'm thinking about this in my head. And so we're getting the kids out, and we're in the church van, and one girl, like all the kids are pretty excited, you know, woo. And one girl is absolutely terrified. She's trembling in the back of the van. And like any good youth pastor, I said, God is your strength, and I threw her out of the van, and we took off. She was bawling. So we drove away, and we come back, and thank the Lord, she had a wonderful experience, and she had a wonderful conversation with someone. They didn't accept Jesus, but she had a great conversation. Far too often, we kind of have those experiences where we're just terrified to share our faith. But we should be excited to share our faith. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's our church's mission statement. Did you know that? It's our church's mission statement. Jesus is not asking of us to serve him. He's not asking us to go and make disciples. He's commanding us. This wasn't just a little suggestion here. Oh, footnote, here we go. Being a Christian, being a Christ follower, is not something that we get to be in this nice little box and just, ooh, we're going to come and sing songs and praise God. Being a Christ follower is uncomfortable. It's supposed to take us out of that little area that we just feel so comfortable in and get us out into this world, into this community, to share the good news. I have a little sign in my office that I got at a conference years ago. And all it says on it is, "The gospel changes everything." It does. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you know what I'm talking about. It changes everything. I know what path I was on before I heard the gospel and I accepted it. I accepted Christ as my Savior. It changed everything. And it continues to change everything. This isn't a secret that we get to keep. This is not one of those things where the best kept secret in town where we want it. We want to share this one. We want everyone to know it. And we can do that by going out and sharing it, serving, letting people know. Got off my notes, sorry. Our service to God is first in our lives. Period. Everything else is secondary. If you do a little inventory of your life right now, and you're kind of seeing where things rank, where's God? Where's service to him? Where's sharing him? If it's anywhere below one, your list is out of whack. Share this story sometimes. I think I shared it this last Wednesday at youth. I was in Bible college, and I let my list get out of whack. Any gamers in here? Anybody play games, online games? Anyone? The youth. No adults in here play video games? Okay. You're just sinners. Okay, you can admit it. Anyway, so I started playing this one particular online game. It's called Counter-Strike. You can look it up later. And I joined a group, an online group that plays all those kind of games. I'm not going to give you the lingo because I don't want you to know how much of a nerd I really am. And and so, I mean, there was probably 1,000 people in this particular group. And all I'm going to say is I ranked within the top 10. And to do that required a lot of commitment. A lot of time was spent playing this game. So much time, the girl I was dating at the time, we would be out on a date, and I'd be like, is it cool if we just swing by the house for a few minutes so I can get a couple rounds in? Now, if you don't know, one, that's not a good way to build a relationship. Two, a round would take anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. Bad advice, don't do that. But more than anything, my priority shifted so much that my relationship with the Lord suffered. My Bible reading dropped way low. My praying dropped way, well, except for, "Dear Lord, let me win this round," dropped way down. my service in the church. I was always calling, I'm not going to be able to make this event, sorry. Got things. You know, and your thing might not be video games. Mine was. The point is, we cannot allow that to happen in our lives. Because you cannot deprive yourself of the blessings that it gives to serve our God. Christians, our service to God has to be first. It should be. Service through teaching the word, volunteering to help at different church functions, serving in the different ministries. Ultimately, most importantly, sharing Christ with those around us and discipling them. It's commanded of us. We have to get out of the box, the comfort zone. Isaiah wasn't quite sure. That's why when God said to him, you know, he's going to go, and Isaiah's like, yeah, I'll go. And God kind of, oh, here's some instructions. This is what I want you to do. And Isaiah's like, well, how long do I have to do this for? Forever. Sorry, seniors, you don't get a punch out card. Sorry, youth. The moment you accept Jesus, you're on. I don't want to hear I'm too young. It's commanded of us. What can we take away? We need the Lord. Jesus has freely offered himself as our atonement. All we have to do is accept him. And all our sins are forgiven. Gone. Just have to accept him. And if you haven't done that this morning, I encourage you, find me after the service. Find any of our elders or anyone. Talk to them. Jesus changes everything. Second thing, our awe of God should lead us to him. We should be so awestruck with him that it is constantly tugging at us. Come to me, come to me. We should be enamored and fixed upon him, that we should desire to learn, grow, and just be in his presence. It shouldn't be a chore. And we should desire to serve him. Our faith and our closeness with him should guide us to serve him. It should lead us to share him with others close to us. And we should be eager and excited to do it. So later when I say, hey, who's signing up for VBS? You don't run the other direction. When I pray, you're just all going to be gone. We should be eager and excited to serve God. It should not be something we dread. Church, our God is good to us. Amen? We should always strive to reciprocate that. He has truly given us everything. The question is, what have we given him? Are we still in awe of him? Are you ready to be sent? Are you ready to be used by him? He's only waiting for your response of, yes, Lord, send me, use me. Let me end with this. Several years ago, there was a story of a guy named Larry Walters. He was a 33-year-old man who decided he wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective. So he went down to the local army surplus store one morning and bought 45 used weather balloons. That afternoon, he strapped himself into a lawn chair to which several of his friends tied the now helium-filled balloons. He took along some drinks, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and a BB gun, fearing he could just shoot the balloons one at a time when he was ready to land. Walters, who assumed the balloons would lift him about 100 feet in the air, was caught off guard when the chair soared more than 11,000 feet into the sky, smack into the middle of the air traffic pattern at Los Angeles International Airport. This is a true story, by the way. Too frightened to shoot any of the balloons, he stayed airborne for more than 2 hours, forcing the airport to shut down its runways for much of the afternoon, causing long delays in flights from across the country. Soon after he was safely grounded and cited by the police, reporters asked him three questions. Were you scared? Yes. Would you do it again? No. Why did you do it? Because, he said, you can't just sit there. Church, we cannot just sit here. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good to us. Lord, I pray that we have been moved this morning, moved to serve you more eagerly, more diligently, more excitedly, God. God, I pray for those that maybe not know you this morning, that you touch their hearts, that they see the need for you because, Lord, you change everything. But God, I pray that those of us who do know you, that we answer that call to go, that you have sent us, that we will go and do what you ask. God, we praise you this morning. Amen.
Before we do this last song, I just want to speak, at least on behalf of the worship team anyway, just want to say how much we really appreciate having Pastor Josh Taylor with us now. I know it's been a really rough last few months, especially in the last couple weeks, especially as you've been making the move. But if you appreciate having Pastor Josh here, let's give him a round of applause. We're glad you're here, man. And with that being said, let's all stand as we sing one final song this week. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm pressed but not crushed. I'm pressed but not crushed. Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm pressed but not crushed, I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, amen. Oh, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week, everybody. You are dismissed.